Hi again. Hey, Brian Neal. How are you doing, everybody?
Hi. Hi, Brian.
Bill Caskey.
Bill Caskey.
That's you. Yeah. We're the Advanced Selling Podcast. We're here every week bringing you different ideas and strategies for your sales life and sales world. We've got a LinkedIn group. If you haven't joined us yet on LinkedIn, the Advanced Selling Podcast LinkedIn group is very, very active and very useful and valuable. So I had something happen over the weekend that was interesting
to me.
Very interesting.
What happened?
And maybe something that some of us listening or watching could relate to. We were going to a restaurant, BW3, chicken wing restaurant here in the States. And we were in separate cars. We'd come back from a Little League game, and my wife got there early, and she was sitting in the minivan. I'd pulled in, and she waved me to come talk, and I rolled the window down. She goes, you see that guy over there? I go, yeah. She goes, I know him from tennis, and I think I should take him home. This guy is standing at 5:30 on a Sunday afternoon with a bag of chicken wings in his hand and his key fob on his thing, and he's going, and he's swaying, clearly
pissed drunk,
and he's going, deet. Deet, looking for his car.
Looking for his
deet,
car.
Deet, and nothing's happening. And he just keeps looking around and swaying. I go, absolutely. God bless you, babe. Take the guy home. So she goes and says, hey, whatever. He doesn't know who she is.
Doesn't
recognize her. Gets in the car. She says, well,
thinks
I know,
he's died and gone
I know
to heaven,
friend.
Though.
Yeah. I know this friend of yours. And he's like, well, how do you know her? And this is a guy that she has taken lessons from. He totally knows her. She says, well, I know because we played in da-da-da-da together. So he then goes, as any young 28-year-old guy would say, if he's in a minivan with a woman, says, are you married? She's like, yes, I'm married. I have four kids. She takes her sunglasses off, and he goes, oh, Jen Neal.
Oh, really?
So he goes, I got to go back and get my car. She's like, you're not getting your car. You can get it tomorrow. That's fine. He says, no, but I can't. I can't leave it there overnight, blah, 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 blah. So she takes him home, pulls in the driveway. Guess what? His car's in his driveway. He was doing this, and he didn't even drive there. So.
Well, then.
Anyway.
For those of you
who tend to go out and imbibe sometimes on the weekends,
it's
better
great.
To take a taxi than a minivan of someone you give tennis lessons to. That's what I say. So he called Monday and apologized, and she just left it off.
That's truly.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, in my party days, I don't think I ever didn't drive and thought I drove. I drove when I shouldn't have, but.
The interesting thing, though, which I love, he had enough wits about him. The strategy for finding the car like this was brilliant, right? And just staying in one place. Deet, deet just
well,
for the
I've beat. Done that in sober and trying to find it.
Very funny. Anyway, we continue.
Okay, topic today. Yep. There was a Harvard Business Review, and of course, we always like to quote the Harvard Business Review because it gives us additional credibility. An article written recently about the top reasons that salespeople lose sales.
Yes.
And so there's 8 or 10 of them here. We talk about these occasionally on the podcast, but there's 3 here that we want to talk about today. And maybe what we do is just talk about, read the first sentence or two of what they say about it. There are things like no decision, the prospect makes no decision, stalled sales cycles, product commoditization, price versus value, 800-pound gorilla. You can go to the Harvard blogs.hbr.org and look for this 10 reasons salespeople lose deals. But anyway, we're going to take a few today and add our spin on it because we don't necessarily agree with Steve on all these things.
And since it's Steve Martin, can I lead in with a couple of Steve Martin quotes and just see if you can gather them?
Okay,
so
sure.
I'll
sure.
start by saying, roll the ugliness. That's a quote from The Jerk. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I never
Jerk fans
remember,
will love that.
I never
roll
remember
the
that.
Ugliness. Go ahead.
Okay, so here's one that we're going to tackle today, and that is no decision. Mm. The real enemy of salespeople today isn't their arch rivals. It's no decision. Customers will go to great lengths to reduce the stress of buying. They list their needs in RFP documents that are hundreds of pages in length. They hire consultants to verify they're making the right decisions. All these steps are taken in an effort to eliminate their fears, reduce uncertainties, blah, blah, blah. However, customers are never 100% sure they are purchasing the right product, and there are always naysayers inside the organization who are against moving forward. As a result, customers frequently won't make a purchase.
Very good.
It's
very
more
good.
Than
so
one line, but I'll
talk
I like
about our way to handle this no decision issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Prevent it.
Prevent it
and
remedy. Mm-hmm. It's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. Great framework by Bill Caskey, prevention remedy. Let's talk about prevention first. We've got a couple tools that we've talked about. All our clients know these very, very well, and those of you who listen to the podcast long enough probably know them. This falls under 2 categories in our selling process. One is what we call clear future. And one way to help you prevent this from occurring is the establishment of a clear future date every single time you are ready to take a next step with a client. This is one of those things that I'd say a lot. It's easy to do, and it's very easy to not do.
Mm-hmm.
And the clear future is very simple. It's about getting the calendar out with your prospect or whomever it is that you're talking to and saying, if we're going to have a next step, could we look at the calendars and just go ahead and get that down in ink on the calendar? And I'm looking for a date and a time and what we're going to do, so we're going to meet, call, whatever that is, and potentially a contingency, if I can, to say if I miss you, that sort of thing. These are the easy words. Again, I've said them before. All you got to say to people is you have your calendar around, get your calendar handy. Calendar, almost everyone has them on their device these days. And you say, when do you want to talk again? Yeah, and the guy will say, why don't you give me a call in a couple weeks? I'll say, okay, that's the third. Is one time better than another? Do you have, how's it look? Yeah, I'm free all morning. Okay, I'm going to put in here to call you at 10:30. Mm-hmm. You can even send them an invite at that point. That will help move these things along to a decision. It's one little
so thing. Your advice there is based on momentum, is keep
right.
keep the thing momentum, rolling, because once it stops, it's hard to get it
Amen.
Back on
yeah.
track again.
And if you let the I'll get back to you in 2 weeks thing, or yeah, we're really interested in this, why don't you call me the week after next and we'll get back together, mm-hmm. you will lose momentum for sure.
You know what I was just thinking as you were talking there, and I listened to every word you said.
Of course.
And I processed it through my little pea brain.
Through your little...
And I have two figures here.
You do.
One is of a beautiful young lady. No. Two figures here, two wheels. And
yeah.
I think sometimes what happens is when we get into the sales process and we're one of four or five people they're looking at,
yes.
we are nothing but a spoke on the wheel.
Mm.
And what you've described here is creating a scenario where you become the hub of that wheel.
Yeah.
And so all of their people and the problem and everything is wheeling and focused around you. And the only way for you to go from the spoke to the hub is to keep the momentum going so
yep.
that they see you almost like you're the leader of the process.
Correct.
Versus, because if you wait for them to lead the process, it may or may not happen. So I like that idea of keeping the momentum. And what it does, I think it puts you in control.
For sure.
A little bit more.
I love the hub idea. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
We need to post that on Pinterest, too.
I can do it right now. Watch.
Let's do that.
It'll take about 2 hours.
The other element to that, I want you to, this is another like little, I don't want you to call it a $1 million idea, maybe. We say those.
Hang
Who wants a $1 million idea?
It.
Raise your hand, everybody. Jill's not raising her hand.
She did. Okay, now she's ready for it.
If you mutually, with your prospect, select a go-no-go date, and you just tell them. Just tell them what happens. If we don't do this, we tend to meander. We tend to move along. And so let's look at the calendar. Let's go 3-4 weeks out, however long your selling system process usually takes, and say, let's just look and ink down a go-no-go date. So by the time we get to here, let's have decided we're either in or we're out.
That's great.
One of those two. A go-no-go date. $1 million idea right there. Jill's nodding. She likes it.
Hard to do, though, if you're attached, because I like the go part, but I don't like the no-go part if you're attached. So part of that is getting your mind right, too, and being willing to say, if this is not going to go now, it's probably never going to go. But you know what's amazing is how often you just email someone or prompt someone when they have owed you something and they haven't sent it, like a decision or another meeting. And just the prompting itself causes them to say, oh, God, that's right. I forgot. I mean, even big deals, it seems like they get reprioritized. Or if they're not on the radar screen, it just they become no decision gets made. Sometimes just that will help.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, here's the second one. Inability to penetrate new accounts.
This is kind of a prospecting thing?
I think it is. One of the most difficult tasks is to penetrate new accounts. Salespeople continually cited how hard it was to generate initial customer interest and secure an introductory meeting. In almost every interview, salespeople also lamented the lack of leads being generated by their marketing department. Well, good luck with that.
Lamented.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I'd lament too.
If you're a salesperson, you're waiting on the marketing department to generate leads. Good luck.
Don't do it.
Ain't going to happen.
Don't do it.
And we love marketing, but that's not really their role.
It's not about that now.
Number one, do you think that's a big reason salespeople lose deals? I mean, it's hard to say they lose deals because they're not even in there.
They're not even there, right. I think it's phrased a little off. It should be a reason that keeps them from doing or getting into more deals, not losing them actually.
Right, right.
Yeah, definitely an issue. This goes under the heading of prospecting and how we do, what activity we engage in to prospect. We have a power listener, Rachel Lyman.
Our friend
in Denver, who's working on a really fun little secret thing in Denver. For all you Denver listeners, stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned, podcast Denver people, or anyone around the mountain states for that reason. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. I digress. I was talking to her yesterday, and she was telling me about a deal. And she said one thing she thinks she's just sort of gifted at is politely staying in touch with people over time with really valuable information. And then at some point down the road, what she calls going in for the kill, which is something we don't really talk about a lot, and just saying, you need to be doing this. You should be doing this. And what, from this standpoint, the way in...
She's earned the right to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is what happens. And the problem is, I think people either A, don't know how to get there. And you'll, if you pay attention to Rachel on the podcast group, and she's in a couple of books talking about how she uses LinkedIn to do that. That's a way to get in.
Yeah.
The second thing is, once you're in, you have to be valuable in all the time.
You can't be...
going through a sales process the whole time. You've got to bring people value, ideas, best practices, all sorts of things that are in the public domain. You can feed people and drip them over time. Just touch them real politely. That's how you get to stay into a company like this, I think. Anything to add?
No, not really. I mean, it's a multi-prong approach here, and it's a big thing. It's prospecting at its core. You said you got to be valuable. I think we say that a lot, but I'm not sure we really dig into that and say, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And being valuable means providing some kind of education, resources, teaching, advice, perspective, whatever. And it's hard because, you know, you're out there working with your current prospects and your current clients, and this is almost a marketing thing that you have to put your marketing hat on when you're out there doing these drip marketing campaigns and LinkedIn. But but there are ways to penetrate new accounts. You know what we found, and podcast listeners, we've talked about this, but the podcast has been a great new business lead generator, discussion generator for us. And we're not recommending everybody have a podcast, but it's one of those examples of something that's fun to do. I don't feel like I'm prospecting when I'm doing this.
I don't really have fun.
Well, one of us does. I think Jill has a little fun editing.
I sweat. The lights are on.
She laughs when she's editing this, but she's usually laughing at something you said. I've noticed that.
Yeah. She likes
it. Keeps a straight face. So anyway, that's that. Okay, let's go to the third. The other one was a nice-to-have product. During these tough economic times, companies have dramatically cut back on any type of purchase that may be considered a non-essential or luxury.
Yes.
So you said you've experienced a little bit of that recently with some people you're talking to.
I did. Actually, a sales call, the individual I'm talking to, as I was speaking with one of the principals there and talking about some of their issues, he said one of our big problems is our product is a nice to have. It's not a have to have. And again, we're in the sales process, kind of first call, so I didn't get too in-depth here. But what happens in that case, I think, again, is you need to own the fact that that's what your product is. And instead of trying to hide from it or turn it into a have to have, I think you have to say, you have to just be blunt about it. This is a nice thing to have. Now, having it makes your life much, much better. That's the part you have to tie together. So what we call when we talk about in our sales process, emotional motivation or compelling reason or pain finding, we say that while pain has a negative connotation, there's a positive element too, right? There's either a negative problem that I'm fixing, and we talk a lot about solving problems. There's also, though, an opportunity that I help someone achieve or get. And this falls under that arena, that these nice-to-have things are usually a way to make life better, even when life's okay without it. And that you have to tie those two together. You have to start to demonstrate and let them feel and understand personally how good life can be with this thing than it is without it.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Because you're not solving a problem. If I've got a broken arm, that's easy, right? I go to the doctor and get a cast. But if someone comes to me and says, go through this workout program and you'll feel better, I'm going, well, you know, I feel okay now. And so I may not be as compelled to do that if I'm not sick. Does that make sense?
Yeah, two things. I think number one is who concludes that it's a nice to have? Was that your potential client that concluded that?
I mean, I think that and feedback from their market.
From market.
Both. Yeah. It's a good question, though.
Because I bet you, I know a little bit about what they're selling. I bet you that it might be a nice to have on the front end, but once someone has purchased it, I bet it would be a hard to give up.
Interesting.
I bet people could not give that up. And maybe that becomes their kind of their approach and their story is, you know, a lot of people think this is nice to have, but I guarantee you if you went to our clients and said, we're no longer going to do this, they'd be pissed.
Yeah. And you know what? My Beats.
Nice to have. Hard to give up.
Nice to have. Won't give them up. No. Wear them all the time. Wear them to bed. I'm going to have a bigger neck than Lou Ferrigno. He's the Incredible Hulk for all you 70s TV fans.
Anyway. He was on Apprentice, wasn't he? He's
Lou
an odd bird.
I love him. He's great.
That's good.
Lou Ferrigno.
So anyway, if you have a nice to have product, and that's what you have assigned to it, I think you have to change your thinking a little bit. And I like what you said is let's talk about the possibilities of this.
Yeah.
Life is not going to end if a person doesn't have this product. Right. Life's not going to end if they don't have sales training, coaching, leadership coaching from us. But after they have it, they realize how valuable it is. So you've got to give people almost an experience of having it.
That's the trick. Yeah, nice to have stuff. You need to have some sort of demo or let people live in it for a while, I think, when you're selling something that's nice to have. You've got to have some element of that in your sales process to try it out so they go, oh,
here
my gosh, just like these.
Here it is.
Yeah, it's good.
The puppy dog clothes.
Yeah,
the puppy dog clothes. We'll take the dog home this weekend and bring it back Monday.
You go listen to these Beats for a weekend. You tell me what.
All right, so make sure you email us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com. Go to our website, advancedsellingpodcast.com, for all past episodes and issues and casts, as we say in the biz, casts.
See us on the LinkedIn group.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I'd love to see you there.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast presented by Caskey, leaders in sales training and executive coaching. If you like today's podcast, share with your friends, family, and starving salespeople everywhere.